On Point is a production of NPR and WBUR Boston. The program is made possible by your financial support. Please pledge online at WBUR.org.
From WBUR Boston, I'm Jane Clayson, and for Tom Ashbrook, this is On Point. It's already been a presidential campaign like no other. And beyond the early kickoff, there's another hallmark of the race, the spouses. This group of wives and one very notable husband in former President Bill Clinton are visible players in the campaigns. They're speaking out and speaking up, and they're on the trail for your vote. This hour, On Point, the candidates' spouses and their impact on the race for the White House. Joining me today from Palm Beach, Florida, is Judy Bacharach, contributing writer to Vanity Fair. Her new article for the September issue of the magazine is Giuliani's Princess Bride. Judy, nice to have you with us.
Hi, Jane. Thanks for having me.
And with us from Washington is Eleanor Clift, contributing editor to Newsweek. She also writes the weekly Capital Letter column for Newsweek.com. Eleanor, welcome to you.
Glad to be with you.
Let me start with you, Eleanor. Beyond the obvious that there is a husband in this group of wives, how is this campaign different as it relates to the spouses of the candidates who would be president?
Well, on the Democratic side, you have two spouses who are particularly outspoken and seem to be taking a lead, really, in their husbands' campaigns, Elizabeth Edwards and Michelle Obama. And I think both of them are what I would call unscripted. They seem very natural. They have been used, really, to attack the one woman candidate in the race in ways I think that their husbands have not felt comfortable doing. Mm-hmm. And on the Republican side, you have such a mixed marital history mm-hmm. among the candidates that it seems to stand in stark contrast to the party's issue of family values over the years. And it'd be interesting to see whether Republican primary voters are going to be able to set that aside. Mm.
Let's talk about that in a few minutes. I'd like to start with Judy and ask you, Judy. It seems these spouses are running their own mini campaigns of sorts with these hectic travel schedules and strategic agendas and media in tow wherever they go. In your opinion, how is the role of the first spouse changed in recent years?
Well, this has been an ongoing evolution. What we're seeing now, probably because of Hillary's evolution, mm-hmm. is that the spouse is almost indistinguishable from the candidate in certain respects. In other words, he is no longer a reflection simply of the person they married. They are very integral to the campaign. If they are good, they can heighten the campaign and improve it. And if they're a disaster, it could be a disaster for the campaign itself.
So when we go to vote for president, how much of the American's choice is based on the candidate's spouse?
Traditionally, everyone has always said, you'll get any pollster, most of the men, who will say, hey, nobody really cares about the spouse. It has no effect on a voter. But I've always felt instinctively that was untrue. This year, we're really seeing the reality. And as Eleanor said, when you look at people like Michelle Obama, who's a very articulate speaker, or Elizabeth Edwards, who is a good campaigner, you see how very important the campaign thinks they are. Mm-hmm. And if the campaign is heightening their role, you know that the voters are feeling the same, that they feel the spouse is a very good reflection of who the candidate is.
Eleanor Clift, agree or disagree?
Oh, I do. I mean, I think the wives give a window into the character of the man they're married to. But I also don't think that in the end a wife is going to be decisive. I think there are going to be so many other issues that are going to be prominent before people decide on the spouse.
So what do Americans really want, then, in a first lady or first gentleman, as the case may be? What do they want?
I think they want more tradition.
Sorry, Eleanor, go first.
Okay, I think they want more tradition. I think the first lady or the spouse of a candidate is a lagging indicator. I think Hillary found that out, that she was part of a campaign where her husband said, buy one, get one free. Mm-hmm, and by the mm-hmm. end of the campaign, she had been pushed in the background, and I remember one particular cartoon towards the end of the campaign with Bill Clinton speaking, and on the podium or on the stage with him was a small box with air holes, and the caption read, "Okay, Hillary, 3 more days and you can come out." So I think, you know, I think that Americans don't necessarily look to the first couple to be pioneers.
What do you think, Judy?
Yeah, if I may say something, there I have to disagree. I do believe that Americans have evolved tremendously since 1992, when we were first introduced, you know, to Hillary as the person she then was. And now, just by the very fact that her first spouse is a guy who was president, everything has changed. All the rules are out the window. And there is one thing I'd like to say about what Americans want. More to the point is what American voters don't want. One of the mistakes the Giuliani campaign, for instance, made is they had a passel of lies and obfuscations trailing the life of the would-be First Lady, Judith Giuliani, that were fairly easy with a lot of research to uncover. Mm-hmm. And when those lies didn't of themselves work, they would ask other people to lie for them, and as I found out in my article in Vanity Fair. And that is a big mistake. The one thing you have to present a first spouse as being is the truthful one. And if everything about that spouse turns out to be incorrect or a lie, that's a problem.
What are the red flags when it comes to a presidential spouse, Eleanor Clift? What's a bad thing?
Yeah, I would love to agree with Judy that all the rules are out the window, and I think a lot of them may be. But with Giuliani's wife in particular, he said she would sit in on cabinet meetings and she would be an integral part of his administration.
Mm-hmm.
And boy, did they back away from that quickly.
Mm-hmm.
They got a backlash. So, you know, I just think you don't know where the line is.
So what is it?
That electric fence that they put up for dogs.
Right. Makes Americans uncomfortable then that a spouse would sit in on a cabinet meeting, Judy?
No, if I may say something.
Who elected her?
Yeah, right. Judy, go ahead.
It's not that the spouse sits in on a cabinet meeting. It's that the spouse is asked to sit in on the cabinet meeting with no ability to do so. In other words, Mrs. Giuliani was told, yes, she's going to be a great asset. She's going to sit in the cabinet meetings. She's going to help us in the event of an anthrax attack because she used to be a nurse. But the problem really is she hasn't been a nurse in 32 years and even then was a nurse for only a couple of months. And the second thing is she's alienated all his top aides by... She has a very haughty attitude. She's very dismissive. She has temper tantrums, and she embarrasses Giuliani himself in public in front of them. So how she's going to sit on cabinet meetings is a real issue.
But more broadly speaking, Eleanor, we don't want our first spouse to think that they're a policy maven or too deep in the game. We don't want them to think that we elected them. We elected the candidate.
Yeah, we don't know what we want, but when we see what we don't like, then we react. And I think you can look also at Fred Thompson's nascent campaign. He hasn't announced yet, but is expected to. And his wife, who was a former Republican operative and who apparently is quite savvy political strategist.
Jerry Thompson.
Yes, she has created a lot of friction in the campaign. There was another departure this week, and the departures are traced to her taking a role within the campaign. I think spouses and relatives are always tricky within campaigns,
mm-hmm.
So that's not new, but exactly how far we've evolved, I think, is also not really certain. And I think Hillary and Bill Clinton are playing it very carefully.
Mm. Judy, go ahead.
I have something to say about that. One of the first things I noticed just, you know, in this article in Vanity Fair when I was researching Mrs. Giuliani was that the Giuliani campaign immediately came out and tried to prevent us really from researching. They screamed at me. They called us left wing. They tried to prevent us from knowing who the wife really was. That indicated to me, as much as anything, how important the role of the spouse had become over the years since, if you will, Hillary's first attempt. since 1992. They were terrified. They even had put out, as you know, a document saying, she's going to be trouble for us. We are worried about her. So I think the role of the spouse is pretty important these days. And although a voter may not tell a pollster, hey, I'm not voting for him or her because of the spouse, in fact, that may be the case.
But in recent times, haven't we seen problems? You know, may not be a spouse, but Billy Carter, Roger Clinton, you know, even Betty Ford, you know, having some problems, some embarrassments.
People don't feel that the candidate is responsible for his brother or sister. We all have been there, and we all understand that you don't pick your relatives. But you do pick your spouse, and if the spouse has an important role in the campaign, that can be great or that can be terrible.
So, Eleanor Clift, what does the candidate's spouse tell us about that person's character or judgment?
Well, I think that you can tell a lot about somebody by the company they keep. And you look at Elizabeth Edwards, and I think she is a huge asset for her husband because she has come across as very, you know, courageous and strong in her battle with cancer. You look at Ann Romney, who plays a much more traditional role on the campaign trail, but who comes across as a very caring, loving person who also is battling a major illness.
Eleanor, you brought this up earlier briefly, but with a woman in the race for the White House, I had been struck, as you mentioned it, how often it seems the male candidates are using their wives to go on the attack against Hillary Clinton, at least on the Democratic side. Last week, Michelle Obama addressed a group of women on Chicago's South Side, and she made a comment that was widely construed in the press to be a dig at Hillary Clinton. Here she is.
Our view is that if you can't run your own house, you certainly can't run the White House. So we've adjusted our schedule to make sure that our girls are first. So while he's traveling around, I do day trips. That means I get up in the morning, I get the girls ready, I get them off, I go and do trips, I'm home before bedtime.
So, Eleanor Clift, are the candidates putting their spouses out to say things that they can't or won't, especially about a woman?
Well, when you hear the Michelle Obama comment in context, I think it's pretty clear she's talking about herself if she can't run her own house. But if you take that comment out of context and it's a soundbite, it does sound like a dig.
So you don't think it had anything to do with Hillary Clinton?
I don't think so, but I do think that Michelle Obama is, she's kind of unplugged. I don't think she necessarily, you know, thinks through the implications of everything she says and how it might boil down in a soundbite. But your larger point is well taken, and it's one I made myself, and that is that the male candidates seem very nervous about attacking Hillary Clinton, and I think they're remembering her Senate campaign, her first Senate campaign, when her opponent strode across the stage and presented her with something that she should sign. And, you know, women just reacted so negatively that he had invaded her space.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think they're really being careful in how they approach her. But their wives, Elizabeth Edwards has made some comments that, you know, her husband is better on women's issues, and she will defend that she was saying she wasn't saying anything personal. It was about policy. Nonetheless, the attacks, such as they've been so far, and they've been pretty mild, have come from the women.
Judy Bachrach, the men nervous about going after Hillary?
Well, of course they are. First of all, mm-hmm. she's a very smart candidate, Hillary, and very seasoned. And second of all, she's a woman, which puts her in an almost minority status here. So you're always tentative when you attack a minority. And third of all, she represents 51% of the population of the United States, who are also women, and they don't want to antagonize that. I would say that it isn't so smart to let a spouse attack Hillary, however, even though they are of the same sex.
Because?
Because it looks like a catfight. That's, you know, I didn't get the same interpretation Eleanor did from Michelle Obama's statement. I got that as an attack on Hillary, really, and an attack that's almost unfair. You know, are you really responsible for your husband's behavior? I think that spouses are better off plugging themselves, what they hope to do if they get into the White House, and their husbands. We can all remember Teresa Heinz, for instance, during Kerry's campaign. Teresa Heinz plugged herself. That was a big mistake, and barely spoke about her husband. And when she did, it was sort of in a batty way. That was sort of embarrassing. So a spouse probably should deal with positive aspects. What we're going to do when we get there. What I'm going to do when we get there. What I hope for this country. That's what a voter wants to hear.
Let's handicap the field, Eleanor Clift and Judy Bachrach, if you would, for a moment. Who's the most intriguing spouse this campaign season? Eleanor?
Well, I think it's a tie between Elizabeth Edwards and Michelle Obama. And if you use the word intriguing, I guess probably Michelle Obama because she's newer on the scene. And we, you know, we did see Elizabeth Edwards 6 years ago, I guess. It's not. And 8 years ago? How many? This campaign has started
so
early,
yes.
It's confusing. Okay, in 2004, so 2.5 years ago.
Yeah,
and so we kind of know her, and we know how competent she is and how articulate she is and how strongly she feels about issues. I mean, Obama is the Obamas, both of them, are so new on the scene that they are both really phenomenons.
And what about the most well-spoken spouse, Judy Bachrach? Who would you say?
I would say Michelle Obama. I've heard her speak. She is very eloquent. She's very smart. She's a lawyer. She's used to speaking on her feet. And she's really, really good most of the time. I never found her unplugged, by the way, which I think Eleanor does. I think she's very well scripted. And the most interesting thing about Michelle Obama, which I guess many of us have heard in the press, is that she initially didn't want her husband to run at all. And so that the pull and push of her own desires and his own ambitions is very interesting to see played out in this campaign.
Do you get the sense that Michelle Obama, we were talking this morning in a staff meeting, that sometimes it appears she's taking digs at her husband?
Correct.
Yeah. Why is that?
Well, I think there's probably, this is me guessing here, okay, but you can tell, and I've heard her speak too, there's clearly been tensions in the marriage, and the question of the focus on the family, which is clearly Mrs. Obama's concern as well, the focus on the family inevitably gets muddied when you're running for president. You don't have the time for the family, and I think she resents that and has made that clear. So she is not shy about telling us what's wrong with him, which, by the way, is refreshing, as long as one doesn't overdo it, obviously.
Let's go to the phones, because lots of folks are wanting to join this conversation. First, from Concord, New Hampshire, is Martha, who's on the line. Hi, Martha. Go ahead.
Hi.
Hi.
Well, I believe completely that it was Laura Bush who won the election for George, that a lot of us had concerns about him, but she was just so steady, so intelligent, a librarian, for goodness sake, trustworthy, that she really smoothed out his rough edges. And also, the legend is that she was the one who insisted that he give up the alcohol. So, in fact, even beyond her image, she made him what he is.
She had an impact on him.
Beside that, just so pretty.
Well, Martha, thank you for your call. Is Laura Bush the model of the modern First Lady? She has extraordinarily high approval ratings, Eleanor Clift.
Well, there was a biography written about her by a Washington Post reporter, and the title was The Perfect Wife. There is nothing to not like about Laura Bush, and she has played her role as First Lady very traditionally. I think she's very good for him. And I don't think she's made much of an impression on the country, certainly in terms of leaving a legacy of her own. But in terms of her getting him elected, I think she was part of the package. It was a steady wife. It was a vice president who'd been there before, who was the grown-up in charge. It was the family backing and all of that. So she definitely was part of the package.
Let's go now to William, who's calling from Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. Hi, William. You're on the line.
Hi, Jane. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I have two quick divergent points.
Yep.
First, on the issue of attacking Hillary, I think that certainly is going to change, assuming that she becomes the Democratic candidate. Neither party during the primary process wants to bloody the candidates too much within their own party. That's just standard. And so I think any reservation we're seeing right now is more indicative of the primary process and tactics. I believe she's going to be, and should be, as would be the Republican candidate. We should target them. We should look at them. We should turn them upside down and so forth. And I think you'll see that with Hillary if she gets the nomination. My other point I'd like to make, which is the issue of the spouses in general, and as I was telling the screener, when you're what we're doing in effect through the election process is we're hiring a president in reality, just like we hire chief executives all over the United States. And while the spouse of the person is a factor, you're hiring that person. And if you put too much weight in the spouse, male or female, and you don't look at that person and that person's qualifications alone, because they're going to do the job. I agree with the caller about Laura Bush. She was an asset. Some spouses may not be as much of an asset, but overall, we're hiring the individual, and I just don't think it's going to make that much of a difference as to who the spouse is.
William, thanks so much. Eleanor Clift, your comments?
No, I think he makes a lot of very excellent points. I agree. And actually, surveys have shown that the spouse makes a very marginal difference. And so the running mate doesn't make that much of a difference. Now, we may, though, again, be in an era where the old rules have been tossed out, given the experience of the last 6.5 years with Dick Cheney. I think the vice president may get more scrutiny this time around. Mm.
Let's bring another voice into our conversation. Joining me now from Washington is Alita Black. She's research professor of history and international affairs at George Washington University. She's also project director and editor of the Eleanor Roosevelt Papers, and she advises the Women's Outreach Program for Hillary Clinton's presidential campaign. Nice to have you with us, Alita.
Hi, Jane. Happy to be here.
What stands out in your mind in this very unusual presidential election?
Well, I think the thing that struck out to me the most about this conversation is the absence of a discussion about Bill Clinton, and also the absence that women are now the majority of voters in the United States.
Mm-hmm.
So the spouse issue is going to take on yet another twist, because just as the president is supposed to be head of state and head of government, you know, because we don't have a royalty here, we now have to appeal to a demographic before that's never really chosen the presidency. And so now women's votes are exceedingly important at a time when candidate spouses are also changing.
Well, let's talk about the Bill factor. Here he is. He took the stage for Hillary in Iowa recently and gave her a crowd-pleasing endorsement.
She is, by a long stretch, the best qualified non-incumbent I have ever had a chance to vote for president in my entire life.
Do the Clintons have to avoid the suggestion of a two-for-one presidency that they proposed when their roles were reversed, Alita Black?
Well, I don't think they have to avoid it because, you know, President Clinton was President Clinton. I mean, the issue here is Senator Clinton's record in her own right as First Lady and as a seven-and-a-half-year senator in Congress. But I think the thing that's most interesting to me in terms of the general public is how you have Michelle Obama and you have Elizabeth Edwards and you have Bill Clinton on the candidates' websites as the person who in videos and in text introduces the presidential candidate to their readers.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And what do you make of that?
Well, it says that they're a draw, that they are bringing people to the campaign.
Mm-hmm.
And I do think that that Michelle Obama is intriguing, just as Bill Clinton and Elizabeth Edwards are intriguing. And I agree with Eleanor that that Michelle of the new crop is the most intriguing, because we do know Elizabeth Edwards. But I would also argue that Bill Clinton is intriguing because he's he was president. So how can he handle stepping back and letting Senator Clinton take first stage?
Alita Black, I am curious, historically, has anyone's spouse lost an election for the candidate?
Well, I would argue, after years of looking at polling data and conversations with President Ford, that the Ford's decision not to send Betty Ford into the Ohio suburbs really was a key factor in his losing Ohio in his bid for re-election, well, his bid for election to succeed himself as president, and therefore was a major factor in Carter's victory. And I think we're just now really beginning to look at that, and the polls clearly show that wherever Mrs. Ford went in the final days of the election, remember this is right after Governor Carter's pronouncements of lust in his heart in Playboy, that she's having a huge influence on swing independent voters in the suburbs.
Been talking a lot about the Democrats and their spouses. Let's turn to the Republican side for a moment. The Republican candidates, as you mentioned, Eleanor Clift, have mixed marital histories. And for a party that prizes family values, that's been an issue. Judith Giuliani to Ann Romney, that's a huge swing. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Right. Judith Giuliani has been married three times, obviously was having an affair with her now husband while he was still married. And then you go all the range to Ann Romney, and they think they've been married something like probably close to 40 years. And
high school sweethearts,
Five you know, strapping sons and the family entourage was everywhere in Iowa, and he did win the Iowa straw poll. I think it's a test of the Republican primary voters as to what they're looking for. I mean, they have not particularly warmed to Mitt Romney because his record on issues has been back and forth on some issues that they really care about. And Rudy Giuliani still carries that aura of leadership from 9/11, and he's doing well in the polls. So I think the wives on the Republican side are not playing the out front dominant role that you see on the Democratic side, and that may be purposeful.
What about illness in the White House and in the campaign? Ann Romney has MS. She's talked about it publicly. Elizabeth Edwards, of course, battling incurable cancer. How does that influence public perception? Judy Bachrach.
The case, particularly, for instance, of Mrs. Edwards, who has decided very determinedly to devote herself to thoughts about living rather than thoughts about illness and dying, that has created a fairly positive perception. And in the event that Edwards would enter the White House, obviously either she or Mrs. Romney would be an advocate for certain kinds of illness. And that is also a traditional First Lady idea, the idea that a First Lady is a charitable person, a person who cares about others, and a person who devotes herself to good deeds. But I think we have to be very pragmatic here. It is unlikely that Mr. Edwards is going to enter the White House. And Mr. Romney, as Eleanor said, Governor Romney has not shown that he is the front runner yet, and may never, possibly because of some people's concerns about his religion. So I don't think that is really going to be much of an issue just because of the pragmatic side of things. I think in the case, for instance, of Mr. Giuliani, who is the front runner right now, one has to also see that not only were he and Mrs. Giuliani, Judith Giuliani, courting while he was married, but he was also is very alienated from his children as a result of that courtship, which was very public, never hidden, no discretion. And the children have really come out against him.
We're talking about the influence and the role of the modern spouse in this presidential campaign. We were just speaking about Elizabeth Edwards, her battle with cancer, and Ann Romney, how she lives with MS. Here is Ann Romney in an interview with a local news station in South Carolina this summer, talking about her husband's capacity to work hard on the campaign trail.
He has enormous energy, and I've seen this again on the campaign trail. I mean, I have normal energy, I would think, but I have to deal with multiple sclerosis too, so I have to really worry about my, you know, using too much of my energy at times. But, you know, he'll just go like 12 hours, and I'm just like, and then the next day he does it again. I'm like, how do you do this?
Eleanor Clift, well, I'll open it to the whole panel. Judy Bachrach, Alita Black, how much do Americans want a spouse that they can relate to, someone who deals with health issues, that knows what it's like to be a stay-at-home mom or whatever the case may be? How much do Americans want that?
Well, first of all, I have to point out, while we're talking about the illnesses of the spouses, we've had we have several of the candidates themselves, John McCain, mm-hmm. Rudy Giuliani, and Fred Thompson, have all experienced cancer. So I think our attitudes about that particular illness and other illnesses in general are changing as well.
Mm-hmm.
I think a first lady who is seen as an advocate, who has an issue that she can champion, I think it's very important, because the role of first lady really is symbolic. And when Hillary Clinton came in, she tried to turn it into a policy job, and it failed rather grandly on mm-hmm. the national stage. And then she really did use her symbolism as a professional baby boomer first lady, and even though she didn't have a direct policy line anymore, I think she got a great deal accomplished using the symbolic value of her position. So I think a first lady can have an enormous impact, and I think the ones who are able to inspire us on the way, on the journey to the White House, all the better.
You talked about a spouse's impact. Here's Elizabeth Edwards speaking last week on CNN. She was asked about the different positions that she's taken on the issues from her husband.
I honestly don't think that my position means anything, that people should be voting for the candidates themselves and what the candidates believe. That's why, unless I'm directly asked, and even then usually I try to defer it first, but if someone's persistent, I'll tell them what my opinion is.
Do you try to sway his opinion about issues that you feel strongly about?
No, I try to be a legitimate sounding board for him. He knows I don't have an agenda separate from his, so I can, if he wants to bounce something off of me, I try to do that, but I don't consider myself my job as a spouse to try to persuade him.
Judy Bachrach, how much do Americans care about the spouse's political opinions, and if they differ from the candidates?
Well, I've always maintained that because so much of polling is based on self-reporting, we have no idea how much they care, but I have a feeling, and I think many women do these days, that the spouse is ever more important and the opinions of the spouse are ever more important. And that nicey nice interview that I just heard you on the air is a good soundbite, but it isn't valid. We have seen spouses who differ markedly from their husbands
mm-hmm.
on certain issues. For instance, Betty Ford, who, as Alita said, was very valuable to her husband and should have been used more, very likely. She clearly was more upfront. She clearly was more modern than her husband, the president. And if I may say something about Hillary Clinton and her efforts in health care when she was a first lady, it is very often said that, oh, her efforts failed because she was first lady. But that is not really true, best I recollect. I think her efforts failed because she was very maladroit. She was very inexperienced. She managed to alienate the very constituencies, for instance, the medical field, that she needed to attract to get her job done. And I don't think that a more experienced political spouse, for instance, Bill Clinton, would make those same mistakes and will probably have a greater role in the event his wife gets the presidency or that some other political spouses will get the presidency mm-hmm. with more background than Hillary Clinton had at the time mm-hmm. and more self-confidence.
Let's go.
I think that's true because the candidate spouses now disproportionately have careers in their own right. And so they bring their own areas of expertise to the table, not just Bill Clinton and not just Elizabeth Edwards and Michelle Obama's legal degrees, you know, but let's look at Jill Biden's strong impact on No Child Left Behind, which every candidate will have to deal with, or Ann Romney's ability to deal, you know, contrast that with Ann Romney's ability to deal with a symbolic issue like more funding for the National Institutes of Health and her own personal testimony battling MS. I mean, I would argue now that the majority of the candidates are professional career women in their own right, and so it's a struggle for them to find their own voice in a campaign, and they will in fact resonate with a variety of women voters who are also working, juggling families, and caring about issues, especially Iraq, healthcare, and education, which are resonating with women across the country.
Mm. Alita, thank you. Laura is calling now from Mystic, Connecticut. To you, Laura, hello.
Hi, Jane. It's an honor to be speaking with you and the panel this morning.
Thanks for calling.
I want to thank you for your thought-provoking, intelligent topics. First of all, there's always been a woman in the presidency, even though they may not have had the title. Let's go back to Martha Washington, Eleanor Roosevelt, whoever is in the White House. The bottom line is they're president. Women are presidents. They may not have achieved that title. And I believe also another point I want to make is what an opportunity. This campaign is finally going to end the end of suppression for women's feelings, issues, illnesses, whatever is going on. It ends it. It was prophesized a long time ago, Jane, that women are going to lead. There's going to be an army of women leadership. The time has come. It's here.
Laura, thank you. Alita Black, do you want to comment?
Well, she's absolutely right. I mean, not in the sense of being elected president, but Abigail Adams was so outspoken that they called her Mrs. President. I mean, Eleanor's done a wonderful job talking about this in her book, Madam President. You had, especially in the 20th century, first ladies have been exceedingly involved in policy. The issue is how public have they been in their role as advisor and as in-house advocate.
And Eleanor, who has been more public and more private?
Well, Nancy Reagan was the epitome of, yep, of the private power. And when you look at her time in the White House, she had a very positive role towards steering the president to meet with Soviet leaders and keeping him away from endorsing a constitutional amendment or doing, not endorsing it, but really pushing for a constitutional amendment to ban abortion. It turns out she was pro-choice, and look at now she's advocating for stem cell. But she was very undercover in the White House, and Hillary Clinton was just the opposite. She did it quite publicly, and you know, I agree, if she had gone about it more expertly, maybe it would not have backfired. But I think the role of a first lady taking on a particular policy role is still problematical.
Back to the phones, to Old Mystic, Connecticut. French is on the line. Hi, go ahead.
Hi, Jane. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
First, I just wanted to say to Ms. Cliff that I admire your work, and I've always been a fan of yours, mostly because you agree with everything. Or I agree with everything you say.
Thank you. That helps, doesn't it?
But my, I wanted to allude to a point earlier made by a caller who talked about Laura Bush, and I wanted to see the flip side of the conversation, where a candidate who may be weaker compared to the other field, substantively weaker, maybe has a strong spouse, and putting the strong spouse forward to help elevate the candidate as opposed to worrying whether or not the candidate is going to hurt or help.
Good question.
Going to hurt or help.
French, thank you. Can a strong spouse help a weak candidate, Eleanor Clift?
Ooh. Maybe privately, but I think, you know, a weak candidate maybe in terms of how he is polling, you know, that kind of weakness, but a general weakness, I think you can't look to your spouse to shore you up. Now, look at Chris Dodd out on the campaign trail. I mean, he's a very seasoned senator. He's got his wife and two him on the campaign trail, and he just got a major endorsement from the firefighters union. So maybe the sense of vigor that he is that may be shoring him up in terms of making him seem stronger as a potential presidential candidate, although he is not polling well.
We've mentioned that spouses across the board seem less programmed than in years past, and I wonder, does that make the line blurrier between the women like Elizabeth Edwards and Michelle Obama, between what they want to say and what the campaigns need them to say? Alita Black, do you want to start?
Well, I think these women are very smart, and I have tremendous respect for both of them. And they are not going to do anything that would hurt their husbands. And so I think if the campaign says to them and can prove to them statistically that what they're doing is counterproductive, they'll stop it.
Judy Bachrach, what do you think?
Well, I tend to think that actually a lot of what they say is very scripted, if not by the campaign itself, then by the women themselves. In other words, They have carefully worked out what they're about to say. I've seen very little fumbling. I've seen things that I don't think are tactically smart, but I've seen very little fumbling, and I think all of this is worked out well before, and probably the campaign knows a great deal about what they're going to say.
Alita Black, I'm curious how historically spouses have dealt with criticism of themselves and of their husbands.
Well, it really depends on which woman you're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Eleanor Roosevelt, who arguably was the most attacked woman in the 20th century, not just in terms of hyperbolic, you know, political excess, but people tried to shoot at her, and the Klan put the highest penalty in its history on her head, just let it roll off.
Mm-hmm.
It was hard for her, but she learned how to do it. FDR would just deflect it with humor, and so that's a whole different range. Nancy Reagan, on the other hand, would be profoundly irritated by the criticisms that President Reagan received, and brought the great Mike Deaver in to deal with it.
Mm-hmm.
Betty Ford had a really hard time with the criticism that Jerry Ford received after the pardon, even though she vociferously agreed with the pardon. And you could argue that in fact that helped exploit her weaknesses. Jacqueline Kennedy just didn't care and didn't much want to be there anyway, and Lady Bird Johnson decided to be proactive and put herself on the campaign trail as a foil for Lyndon during the height of the Vietnam War. So each woman handled the position and the criticisms that she and her husband and family received in their own individual way. There's not a set pattern to it.
Right, and then fast forward to the Clintons, and I think each of them and together, they have probably been more vilified as political figures than anybody else, and they are wearing it as a badge of honor, saying mm-hmm. there's nothing that the Republicans can do to us that we haven't been through. So hire us, because we know how the process works.
And then the Giulianis, they're keeping her under wraps for a reason. I mean, everybody else is talking and everybody else is expressing their opinion on the campaign trail, but Mrs. Giuliani has been kept under wraps very carefully in the same kind of scripted way. Let's let her not talk rather than let's let her voice her own opinion.
Mm-hmm. And
how does she deal with that?
In all the campaign literature. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you look at what they put out, that's true, too.
Mm. Interesting. Back to one last call from Stephen from Newton, Massachusetts. Hi, Steve. Go ahead.
Good morning, Jane. Thank
Good morning.
You. I want to give you a perspective of a past candidate. I ran for a state office. And to paraphrase Bill Clinton, it is very much a twofer. When you are the candidate running, in this case, my spouse was probably my strongest advisor. She had the opportunity to know who I was and where I was coming from and to sort of separate my press from the reality of what the situation was. And when you're in the position of the candidate and you have surrounded yourself with people who, for lack of a better expression, think you're the Messiah, you're mm-hmm. going to be whatever you need to be for them, you need to have someone who is completely grounded and can look at the situation and assess the situation and give you feedback about what's going on, in some cases completely against, what you're hearing from everyone you surrounded yourself
by. Stephen, thank you. What a great point. Eleanor Clift, an important role to keep candidates' feet on the ground.
Oh, it is a package deal.
Uh-huh.
Each couple plays it a little differently. But I think, running for president, being president, is probably one of the most stressful situations any human being can be in. And, they do need the support of a spouse.
So if the candidate wants to be kept on the ground, there are a lot of guys out there who don't.
This is a long haul, and we've started learning about these spouses quite early in the race. What do you see coming up in the next few months as far as how this is going to shake out? Not necessarily who might get a nomination, but who has the enduring power here as we move forward to 08? Judy Bachrach, you want to start?
Well, I would. This is me just guesstimating, but yes, I do obviously see Hillary Clinton as having enduring power. She has foiled a lot of expectations. I mean, I remember the days when people would say she's history, she's over, she's alienated so many people, she'll never become senator. I mean, that was common wisdom at the time. So my guess is she's tough and she will have enduring power. Giuliani, I honestly don't know. I mean, on the one hand, yes, he's using 9/11 and people remember his role there. On the other hand, a lot of what he's saying of recent, vintage, namely that he's been exposed to as many toxins as the firefighters in the days after 9/11, have come back to haunt him. It may be his swift boat. He tends to overestimate his role in a lot of areas, and there's a great deal of mendacity in the campaign itself.
Eleanor Clift, I'll give you a final quick thought.
Okay. Well, I think the Democratic race has been amazingly stable, and I think the three front runners and probably two or three others are in it for the long haul. The Republican race is really hard to war game. I think the Republican voters really
don't know who they want. The fact that none of the above scores higher than any of the existing candidates in some polls, and now we have a new late entry with Fred Thompson, I think shows the turmoil that the Republican side of the race is in. I don't know who comes out ahead and who goes the distance.
And as it relates to spouses, Alita Black, final thought from you.
Well, I think the three to watch are going to be Bill Clinton, Michelle Obama, and Jerry Thompson, because I think they're going to be the ones that will draw the most press attention. They've got the most intriguing press value right now, and in many ways they're the most unknown, even though we're going to see President Clinton in a whole new way.
A lot of time to go, and so much can change. Alita Black, Research Professor of History at George Washington University, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Judy Bachrach, contributing writer to Vanity Fair magazine. I appreciate your time, Judy. Thanks.
Thanks.
And from Washington, Eleanor Clift, contributing editor to Newsweek magazine. Eleanor, always great to talk to you.
Thank you. I enjoyed it.
I'm Jane Clayson. In for Tom Ashbrook, this is On Point.